Hello and welcome to the Only in Rugby League podcast, where we discuss all things rugby league. With me, Bobby.
And me, Andy.
And me, Bri.
And still, the M62. And beyond.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Evening, gentlemen.
Evening, Bri. That can only mean one thing, Bobby.
It can indeed, and that means we are a main man down.
Yeah, Bri's off the bench.
Subbed on at the last
achievement table.
Subbed on, 2-0 down for Everton, needing three goals to win in the 92nd minute.
Oof, I don't think he's got it in him.
I'm trying to be realistic.
That's yes, very realistic.
Callum's not with us tonight. He's got a family situation. His little daughter's not very well, is she? So
no, that's right.
He's had to go and look after her, hasn't he?
Yes, he has indeed.
So we'll say hello to Callum now because he'll be listening back at some point.
Does he though? Because he's always told us that he only listens to hear his own voice.
That's true, actually. Yeah, he might not. So yeah, screw you, Callum. Yeah. So yeah.
Did you have a good Easter? Did you eat plenty of chocolate?
Do you know what? I got a block of Galaxy Mint. That's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Who was that off?
My mum.
Oh, fair enough.
What?
Well, at least your mum gives you chocolate.
Did you not get any?
No. Do you know who?
No?
No. My brother did.
Oh, did he?
No.
Well, you didn't?
No, I didn't. No. This is my birthday cake all over again.
What happened with your birthday cake?
Promised me for ages that she'd do me a birthday cake. Right? Yeah. Ages and ages and ages. Right? It got to the point where after about 6 months, I just gave up of asking.
Yeah.
She says
to me, you're nearly at your next birthday, aren't you,
well,
then?
Yeah,
and exactly. You drag yours out for a month anyway.
Well, exactly. So then she says, oh, I'll make you an apple crumble to make up for it. So I was like, right, brilliant. Next thing I know, 2 weeks later, she comes round with cut up apples and goes, "Yeah, I brought you some apples so you can make your own apple crumble." I was like, honestly, I was not very happy.
Were them apples the ones that like fall over the back fence at work of that guy that like has them in his back garden, but they fall over the edge?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm not, Brian, I'm not being funny, but apple crumble or whatever does not make up for making a chocolate cake, does it? I'll be honest.
No, it doesn't, and especially when you've got to make it by yourself as well.
I'm not saying it makes up for it, but, you know, there's a nice element to a nice apple crumble from time to time.
You're right. Well,
I just want to see the candles in the top of an apple crumble.
Bri, what was your best Easter egg?
This year, mine was a Munchies one. Although I did get a penguin one again.
Did you?
Did you steal any off Freddie? That's the real question.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Actually, I should have said, Bri, what was your best gesture egg?
Let's not get started on that. No, don't. Never buying Cadbury's again.
Oh, let's move on from there before we get too political.
Yes, we're not that kind of pod.
We're not. Well, we are, but we're not. Bri, do you want to tell us what's on tonight?
Tonight, we have, coming up, first of all, we have the Super League review, maybe a bit of a chat about the disciplinary this week.
Yep.
We've got Bobby Stats, we've got a little bit of NRL, we've got the ever-popular Only in Rugby League.
Yep.
How many have you got this week, Andy?
It's in the teens.
They're not as classic,
I don't think, as some of the other weeks, but they're good enough. There's a couple of good ones, so yeah, but we're in the teens.
Good. And then we'll be talking about the prediction league, and seeing how everyone's getting on, and then that'll be it.
Excellent. So, without further ado, Bobbles, let's go. See if you hit the right button, Bri.
No, I didn't.
No, he didn't.
I'm joking, here it is.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans, and then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Yes, as Bri introduced there, we are on Super League Round 6, or as it was commonly phrased this week, Rivals Round.
Right. Can I pick up on Rivals Round?
Go on.
Basically, you've got 2.5 rivals there, haven't you, Bri? Right. You've got two derbies, right? You've got Saints Wigan, you've got Hull KR Hull, and then you've got a made-up rivalry between Cass and Leeds, which basically is because Bradford aren't in Super League anymore.
Yeah.
Right? I fail to see what the rivalry is between London Broncos and Huddersfield Giants. Similar situation with Warrington and Catalan, and that leaves Salford and Lee.
Yeah, I'm not sure
rivals why, round.
I'm not sure why Warrington and Lee wasn't a game. That's a bigger rivalry than the other two. If you
Warrington might. Salford's nearer.
Yeah, Warrington Salford. Surely they're like.
Yeah.
Surely that's a better game, is it not?
Yeah.
As I said last week, Warrington Catalan's only started because of a fight. And the only thing I can think of for Lee and Salford is that neither of them are close to a train station.
Yeah, that's it.
So you've literally got to drive to the game, otherwise you're not going. Yeah.
You could have had Featherstone v everybody.
Okay, so let's get stuck into Rivals Round, and we are kicking things off with, let's just jump straight into the South versus the North. We're going London versus Huddersfield. London 6, Huddersfield 26.
Everybody loves a penalty try, Bri, don't they?
Ah, yeah. They do, don't they? You know what about this game? I had to rewatch it because, you know, we don't expect much from London, really, do we? We know they're a part-time team. We know they're coming up against some quality teams and quality players and stuff, and we don't expect much. I think Huddersfield were poor. Mm. And they were that poor, I fell asleep in the first half watching it. I might have had too much chocolate, but I had fell asleep in the first half.
Right.
So I had to rewatch it.
Are you saying they're poor because you genuinely thought Huddersfield were poor, or are you saying they're poor because they didn't wallop London by 40 or 50 points like everybody else has?
Genuinely think they're poor. I really do. I don't see them writing any, you know, making any headlines anyway.
They've had some good wins this season, though.
Yeah, but then they've had some beatings where they've just not shown up. And you know what? It felt like they got off the bus and went, yeah, we've won this, lad, so let's just knock it out of first gear. And, you know, Tuilolohea, they were blowing smoke out of him. And I'm not being funny, but he's better with his feet than he is with his hands.
Right.
But do you know what I mean? I don't get it.
Okay.
I just don't get it.
Let me put it into perspective then, this, right? So out of the games they've played, yeah, this season, they beat Lee, they lost to Saints, they lost to Wigan, they lost to Hull KR. So those three games, you could say, okay. But they beat, like I said, they beat Lee, they beat Cass, they beat Hull in the Cup, and they beat London Broncos.
Everyone's beat Cass, Hull, and London, haven't they?
True, but are they beating? But are they beating the teams that you might expect them to beat, and losing to the teams you would expect? What I'm saying is, with Huddersfield, are there like no surprises whatsoever?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think we all maybe predicted them around that sort of 9th, 10th kind of place in our earlier season predictions.
Not realizing how bad Hull were going to be.
Yeah, and they just, Bri hit the nail on the head in this game. They just looked like they weren't bothered, and I think
do enough for 2 points. Yeah.
But the thing is teams like that are the, you know, teams like London are the teams you should go out and set the marker against, because if you get off the bus with that attitude against any other team in the league, you'll get beat.
Hull nearly did.
You will get beat.
That's right. On a wider issue, yeah. What's the? I'll tell you what annoys me at the minute in these games, and this was a particular one. The number of tries that get sent up to the video ref for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, I know, it's rubbish.
Particularly, if a touch judge has got a clear view down the line of a player, whether he's been in touch or not, you can clearly see whether he's gone into touch. Yeah. Why are we going upstairs to see if someone's foot is touched when he's like half a yard inside the pitch.
Mm.
It's just slowing it down unnecessarily.
It's almost like the referees are too afraid of the backlash and to make that mistake.
Well, you sort of wonder what touch judges are doing now. That's more to the point, I think, as well.
I think this is probably maybe one of the downsides to having every game on Sky or every game with a video ref. Mm. It's brilliant for the sport, and I don't think that should change because of this. But what you will see now is you'll see total scrutiny over what they want, and they'll be too afraid to have that. We had a video ref. Why didn't you use it?
We're going to be in danger soon, Brad, I think, aren't we, of going the way of football, where every single decision has got lines drawn and all this sort of stuff, and you know, where games are an extra 20 minutes now for looking at video checks.
In a couple of the other games where there was a few more incidents, you were wincing and wondering what's going to happen, and you're just waiting, aren't you? You're waiting for something to come from the video ref or Dave Woods, depending on who's in charge that day.
Yeah.
but on the even on this game in the ref, I think it was Tom Grant. It was ref, and at one point he sent a try upstairs, told him what he wanted to look at, and even the video ref went, "What do you want?" And he went, "It's a try."
Yeah,
and even he was nonchalant, and it was like. I think it was like Huddersfield's second or third try. And it was a case of, they've already won this. Why me?
He looked embarrassed to give the signal. In fact, he barely gave it, did he? He just tapped his forearm. He didn't even give the signal.
He went, it's a try. And you're like, mate, do you know what I mean? And
yeah, what do you want? I'm seeing if you're awake, right? Yeah, it's one of them.
But yeah, I think that could be an issue. I think we could end up going down that road. Because I say in a couple of the other games, you sat there waiting, really waiting for video ref to get involved, aren't you? And
yeah,
it's getting very similar to VAR in football.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, moving on, we're going to go over to Warrington, who were on the wrong side of the result this week, and it was Warrington 24, Catalans 32.
Mm. What a start!
Very good start.
14-0 after about 12 minutes, and. To be honest, you're struggling. Three scores within 12 minutes. You're struggling to get them back in the game, then, Bri, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think they need a lot of credit as well because is it Roos, a fullback? The fit, what we'd all consider being Arthur Morgan as your first choice fullback after Tompkins had left, and he's telling the world that Nicodemus is going to play there, and neither of them were in the ground.
Yeah,
neither of them were, and they've played. To play Rouge a fullback, and they've come away. The lightning start, wasn't it? It was just. But it sounds daft. It seems it's like what they needed. Try and quiet the crowd down a little bit.
Yeah.
And get on the front foot and then defend it, if that makes any sense.
No, it does, especially, with Warrington being, having such a good start to the season as well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that 18-0 lead after. After a while was what proved them to be the winner in the end, because Warrington did their absolute best to get back in this game. They were four points behind at one point, and we've said before, you give any team, Saints, Wigan, Catalan, a three-score lead, it's so hard to crawl them back.
Gone. But then again, in the midway through the second half as well, it was 28-12.
Yeah.
So they've done well again. And at the end... I mean, the step from George Williams for his try was magnificent, wasn't it?
Oh, you know? Brilliant. What a try.
And then he nearly did it again to win the game.
Yeah, he did.
Because Warrington had three sets of six on Catalan's line with 5 minutes to go.
Mm.
And they almost did it. And I thought Williams had gone again, Bri.
Yeah, it looked like he had, hadn't it? It seemed like he'd give up on plan A and was like, right, I'm going to have to just grab this game by the scruff of the neck and try and do it yourself kind of thing, because it worked earlier and it was so close, wasn't it, to getting through that line.
Yeah,
but it just that he's showing the class that he has, and he just needs to stay injury free, I think, for them, because he has missed a few games this season.
Yeah, that's
and you
right.
can't rely on young Hayes to be doing it all, especially with drink water out as well.
I think
if he can stay fit, he should be in the playoffs. If then he needs to be there, doesn't he? Come the big games, big games.
And we've said it before. It's not going to change now at this stage of his career, but it's obvious that teams are targeting Mac Duffy defensively.
Yeah,
because he's a liability defender. Brilliant with ball in hand.
Yeah,
brilliant. And it's whether they can. They need to find a way to mask that weakness.
Yeah.
As a team, they need to find a way to cover that weakness.
Yeah, they're gonna get caught out by a few of the bigger teams, otherwise, aren't they? Just another point on this game I'd like to make before we move on is, I know we seem to say this every week, but this game, watching the highlights and watching it, really frustrated me. And I know we seem to say this every week, but can we please get rid of on-field call? I am sick to death of going up to a video ref and hearing, I have no evidence to overturn the decision. I can't stand it anymore. Every single time it goes to the video ref and we're seeing it, and every single fan in the stadium can say, he's dropped that. He's not scored that. Something's happened in the build-up.
Yeah.
But because you can't overturn a video ref's call, who has given a decision and asked you for help because he can't make that decision, it needs to change. How can you send something up as a try when you're not 100% certain? That's why you're asking the video ref. Surely every call should go up as no try. Because you're saying, listen, I'm not in a position to make this call. Can you help me out, please?
Yeah, I agree.
It's not even going up as no try, Bobby. It's going up as, is it a try or is it as a no try? That's it. Yeah. It's just the wording of the rules and the wording of what the referees say. If they can change it to, is it a try or no try? Then the reason you ask for that help is because, you're not sure and you need that bit of assistance. The three of you on the pitch aren't sure because you might be in the right position. You ask for that help because they've got the video evidence.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think, so for example, I think probably 40% of tries probably don't even need to be sent up.
No.
Right? Of the remaining 60%, I'd be really interested to know how many of those are actually overturned.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, I don't see it. And how many times do we see I've not got enough evidence to overturn?
Yeah.
So therefore the video ref isn't even making a decision.
Yeah. We say it.
It's a bit flawed, isn't it? But we've said
it. We say it again and again, rugby union, get it right.
Yeah.
Follow theirs.
Yeah, but well done to Catalans in the end.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Moving on, we head over to Castleford, where on the Thursday night kickoff rivals round, they lost to Leeds 26-6.
Nil-nil at half time. And then came the collapse, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Absolutely. It started with a
kiss.
Now, you know I'm a big Killers fan, so I appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, no, it was hot chocolate, wasn't it, Bri?
Oh.
They're Killers. Yes.
I thought it started with the Greggs at Castleford.
I thought you were asking. Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, it started out with a very controversial first try for Leeds from Momorowski.
The
fingertip on the ball, if you like.
Yeah,
it was.
Right.
Yeah, not sure.
I thought the last try was potentially a knock on as well, where he knocked it down. It seemed to knock it forward into the cast player.
Yeah,
for me, but I'm not quite sure. Just on this, so I mean, it's pretty. I mean, nearly at half time, you always got the feeling, didn't you, that Leeds were gonna, you know, push on and you know, go through the gears a little bit, which is exactly what happened, and Castleford couldn't stay with them. I'm not sure. Brian, in your opinion, what does it say? We know what Castleford have been like all season, yeah? What does it say about Leeds this game, Barry?
I'd say, for me, for Leeds this game, you have to take the conditions in the first half, I really do. I really think you do, because it was horrendous conditions, really. A bit worse than Leeds had the week before against Saints. But then again, they didn't really create much in the first half, did they?
No.
And I think they had a good telling off, to be quite fair. Because if you look at the tries, a couple of them, good play by Croft, or, you know, a little step here or a line break here. A couple of them were just kicks on the last play. So realistically, I'd say this says that the signings that Leeds have made, you wish, but it seems like they were still bedding in. I know they shouldn't be after six games, but that's what it felt like. It felt like they were still, you know, the waiting. It feels just like they're waiting for summer. They're waiting for summer, and I think their plan A is give the ball to Lockie Miller, let him go as far as he can, and then we'll play off the back of it on a decent pitch. I think that's how it feels.
Yeah.
For Castleford, I think they were in the game for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Until at 12-0, Danny Richardson kicks the ball out of a goal line drop out.
Yeah, that's right.
And he has that in him. We've seen it for years at Saints and now at Castleford. He has that, as much as he's good kicking from the tee, he's got that ability out of hand to just make a balls up. And I think that changed the game, to be quite fair.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't in the Sneed quality of drop goal mistakes. And he almost did it, didn't he? Because it was absolutely battered it, and it just went over the touchline, didn't it? Another yard in, and it would have been a great play. It's just one of those things with it, really. But yeah, you're right. It's not really an excuse, I don't think, for whacking a ball out dead on the full from a dropout, really.
No,
I think he saw an opportunity. It was a last second call.
Yeah,
because the way the ball went out and where Reece Martin was, he was nowhere close, was he? To be quite fair.
No, that's right. No, you're right.
The thing for me in this game is, I know we kind of highlighted it a little bit last week and a couple of times within the St. Helens games, but for me, I'd be very worried for a Leeds attack. The last four games, they've failed to score in at least one half of the game.
Right, okay.
They were nilled in the first half against Lee, and they came back and won. All right, fair enough. Great resilience, well done. You failed to score in the second half in both of the St. Helens League and Challenge Cup games. Mm. And then you failed to score in the first half against Castleford. Mm. Now, all right, you could say in the last three, St. Helens are a really good defensive outfit. You could say that their defence wins them games and it's hard to break them down, which, okay. But Castleford? You're playing Castleford, and you can't score in a half of rugby against them.
Mm.
If it wasn't for Hull and London, Castleford are in a very similar situation to Hull. If it weren't for London, they'd be in massive trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's shocking from Leeds, and if it doesn't change, they're going to find themselves back in that bottom half of the table very quickly.
All right, well, let me ask you both this then. You're down to your last fiver, right? You've got to put a double on. You've got to put a bet on the double, are you? Right?
Okay.
So the first part of the double is this. What position are Leeds finishing in the regular season this year? What position have you got them in?
My prediction for them to finish second is very, very wrong. That was worse than your Huddersfield to finish second a few years ago.
Slightly, yeah.
So I think currently based off this, if they don't turn it around, if they stay like this, they miss out on the playoffs. I think they finish 7th or 8th.
Brian?
On this form, Bobby's right, but I see them sneaking in on 5th or 6th.
And the second half of the double for your bet is, will Rowan Smith be in charge of them this time next year?
No.
No.
No. If Leeds are to make the playoffs, Rowan Smith's Leeds, they get a new head coach and they revitalise their season.
Even if they make the playoffs?
If they make the playoff, do they sack him in the off-season, do you mean? Yeah.
Do you think?
If he comes away with no trophies, he leaves, because this is the first year he cannot hide. He's got no, this isn't my team I inherited. This is there isn't. I'm still building. This is his squad, his signings,
and they've backed him with some big signings as well.
And exactly
Croft,
that.
Akers,
Miller,
Momorowski.
They've pumped money into the club under him.
And I know when we spoke to Eddie and Reese from the Lot Pod, they were giddy. Pre-season, they were giddy about what the future held for this season for Leeds. Yeah. You know, they were convinced they were going to win everything.
Yeah, they were.
Well, they can't do now anyway. But
no,
yeah.
They can't. No. And, you know, I mean, Matt Frawley, come on. How do you look at Matt Frawley and think, yes, he's my starting number seven. He is going to win me the Super League. Just don't.
No. Right?
Smith is basically grand final or bust.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because Mr. Edinson will have wanted the trophy, as Bobby says, wanted the trophy, and the only one he can get.
Is now, pretty much now, the grand final, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if you don't get there, he's out of a job.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, moving on. So, we are going to Salford, who once again seem to be proving everybody wrong, Andy. 32-22 over the Lee Leopards.
They do. They prove people wrong season after season after season. And this one was the, well, pretty much the Sneed and Briley show, I think, really, after that. And Ryan Briley, 300 games, Brian, and really shone in this game, didn't he?
He did. And you know what? We've all given credit on this podcast for a few years now, and I think he still goes under the radar because of your Fields and your Wellsbys. I think he's class. I think he, on his day, he is really, really good. I think what people aren't doing either is, as you just said, Salford keep on turning up. They keep on offloading what they need to, and then still performing really season after season. I think the coaching staff don't get the credit that they deserve either.
I think what they've done is
clearly they're doing something right, aren't they?
And I think more than anything, I think what they've done right is they've created a style of play that suits the players they've got. And I also think that they've put together a really close knit bunch, which you don't see in some teams. I mean, I'm guessing we've got to go to one of the derbies yet, and we certainly don't see it in one of those teams. So, you know, but they've got a really close-knit bunch that enjoy playing for each other, and they run through brick walls for each other. And I think they've created that real culture, I think, there.
Definitely, and I think that's what I think a few people underestimated at the start of the season. Yeah. I think people took the ground and the financial situation and everything else that was going on around them and put them lower in their expectations to say, well, that will make them crumble. Mm. But I don't think you won't. I don't think people have really estimated that resilience that they have as that team together.
Yeah.
And this one really surprised me a lot more because I really thought that Lee had turned a corner in the season after the was it Huddersfield? They battered Hull, didn't they? And they grounded out a really good win against Featherstone.
Mm.
And I thought that was their turning point in their season.
I agree, and it's proved to be a bit of a false dawn, I think, because in the league, I think they've won one and lost four.
Mm.
And I think they've really struggled so far, Bri, haven't they? They haven't just haven't. To me, they seem to be lacking the intensity that they had last season that really carried them through for much of last season.
I think they're missing Asiata and Amon more than they'd like to admit. I think they missed Lamb for a couple of games. And having that trio out, it's people were saying last year if them three were out, would they go as far as they did?
They were,
and it's proven a point this year, isn't it? Now, and especially Asiata and Amon,
They were lucky last year, weren't they? In terms of injuries, they had a really good run, didn't they? Which really helped them. And this year, straight from the off, it's not been the case, as you said, Bri.
Yeah, and that's it. Let's put it this way. Most people would have Tom Amon and John Asiata in their teams, in their starting 13s. And obviously, when you're missing two key cogs like that, you need to replace them. And clearly, whatever they're trying is not working at all.
And And that's not helping, for example, that's not helping Matt Moylan, is it? Because he's not having the same amount of field position or space to play in behind what essentially has been a beaten pack, I think, this year.
Mm. Yeah, very... we've said it all along, haven't we? Very, very tough to play behind a pack that isn't making the metres up the field. And, yeah, Matt Moylan can only do so much as your star player, but, you know, and you could see the devastation he could cause against Hull. But that, again, was with that pack that was rolling forward, giving him the yards, giving him the time and space and energy to put all that into to creating tries.
I don't think this game was ever in doubt, was it, from the once Salford got the noses in front?
Yeah, it never was. And what we've just been saying about Lee there and having that platform for Moylan, it shows what good job Salford are doing, because it doesn't matter what they have, what pack they have, who they have at nine, be it Atkin or Butter, whoever, Sneed's always marshalling them around that pitch just right.
Yeah.
And it shows exactly, and this game was exactly the same. Mark Sneed this season started like a house on fire.
Do you think, we're talking about Mark Sneed, like, do you think he's been unlucky in his career not to play for some bigger clubs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I would, yes. I just don't know how big of a club he goes up to. Does that make sense?
Wherever he's been, he's been the main man. And whichever team he's played for, whether that's Hull, whether it's Cass, whether it's Salford, whoever, they've really needed him.
See, I think at Cass he needed that step up. And then he got to Hull, and obviously Challenge Cup finals and stuff, he needed that extra step. And that was the time to do it. But realistically, he could only have gone to Leeds, Saints or Wigan, and there was no space for them. So I think it's just been one of them stories of a player who's been very unfortunate playing in the same time period as other players who've been preferred over him.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Well, moving on to Mark Sneed's former club, who were again, I suppose, handed a walloping off their nearest and dearest. Hull KR 34, Hull FC 10.
I'm going to let you start this, Bri, because I get more apoplectic at Hull's displays every week. I'm not even a Hull fan. So, Bri, I'm going to let you start on this.
Where do you start? I'll tell you where you start. The first try. Right. May throws a dummy, and Lewis and Evans are away. And you think, right, 2-on-1, there's a chance here. If you watch the replay from where the Hull FC supporters are, Texoy runs in a straight line and then just stops still. And when that's happening after, what was it, 6 minutes? Yeah. 7 minutes? 8 minutes? Game over already. Yeah. When you full back, he didn't even like try and shift one way or get them closer together. Kind of thing, move his body to try and get them to run closer together so he could then at least attempt a tackle. He just run in a straight line. When he got to Lewis, he stopped still. Mm. Didn't even attempt to tackle him. He like, put a bit of effort in, son. And then from there, it got worse.
You say it got worse. It got worse from that kick that they put down right to Evels, who then just ran through a gap that nobody bothered, passed it inside, passed it to Lewis, who then got tackled, but then they just said, nah, you're all right, mate, off you go. And then tried to grab his shirt again, missed him, and anyway, he's absolutely under eights defending, isn't it? But then you look at that, right, where's the line? Where's the defensive line? That was and like a dog's hind leg, wasn't it?
This is the funny thing about this. They were the only two times they went down the left side in that first half, and it went through the defence. Both times, every other try comes from the right.
Yeah,
and you're like, you've had two opportunities to stop this. What have you worked on? all week. That's the worst thing. What have they worked on all week? Have they worked on bouncing a ball in a square in a hole somewhere?
I'm going to say you can't tackle much on concrete, can you?
Do you know what I mean? It's just, oh, so imagine being an LFC fan right now.
Go on, Bobby.
I was just going to say that, I mean, to add to that, it gets worse. They didn't even kick a goal until their fifth try.
Well, it could have been, it was 28-0 at half time and could have been 36. It could have been 36-0. They got one.
They kicked on the 20, when it was 20-0, yeah. They made it 22.
And it was 28-0 and could have been 30. If they'd have kicked the goals, it would have been 36-0 at half time. Is that not the same then as the first game they played in the first derby? So you'd think in any game that you want to put a bit more of a fight up and you want to do that. I mean, let's be honest, again, the score's flattered Hull, hasn't it? Because Hull have took the gas, they put the foot off the gas in the second half, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
embarrassing.
It's the thing is, how many teams can say that they've against their biggest rivals, they've took the foot off the gas? You must be embarrassed as a Hull FC fan. And the fact that the only reason you even scored in the match or your first try in the match was a charge down. You had no attack whatsoever. And it took the worst player on the field to charge down a kick and score. Because we've said it before, Ockham, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Well, you look at their signings, not just him, yeah? Not just him. Then you've got the SASA.
Yeah.
Poor.
Yeah.
And Pele is an absolute disaster for him.
Agreed.
And do you know what?
He's no Pele, an escape to victory, let me tell you that.
I'll tell you, no, not even close.
Stop going on about escape to victory.
He doesn't get in the changing rooms, does he, Brian? Go, I do this, and then score a try. It's shocking. He doesn't come back on. He's not going to come back on with his arm in a sling and score an overhead kick, is he?
No, he's not. And you know what? And you know what makes this worse? The best player on the pitch for all FC was the young lad off the bench.
Was it Charles?
Charles. And you like that going, the lad was putting some effort in. Supposedly his whole family supports KR and he's the one giving the shifting. Do you know what I mean? And you like that going, just do something, and then to top it all off, what was Darnell McIntosh trying to do? Try and score.
Yeah, he was trying to score the amazing try,
little windmill there, wasn't he? Yeah,
he was trying to score that little. Oh my God, I'm getting pulled! I'm going to ground it and make myself like a hero. And instead, you dropped it and made you like a fool.
Can't make yourself look a hero when you could have been 36-0 down at half time. Let me tell you.
Yeah, that's just score, don't you? Yeah. Just get in.
But as you were saying, taking the foot off the gas, they could have been 36-0 up at half time, and they only scored 34 points.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how much he took the foot off the gas.
Yeah, they got one, so they actually lost the second half 10-6, yeah.
Yeah.
All the credit has got to go to KR. All of it. Every last little bit of it.
Well, I was just going to say, we spoke about Hull like we seem to every week, and it's a big derby, and we haven't really spoke about Hull KR, have we?
No, we haven't. And, you know, they just completely controlled the match, and I think, well, I know that any win against your rivals is good, but to do it in that style,
but if you're going into that match as a Hull KR player or a coach or a fan, you're expecting a brutal game, which we'll come on to next.
Mm.
But you're expecting a real rough and tumble game, aren't you, Bray? You're expecting this is your biggest game of the year.
You're expecting to be nervous. You're nervous. You go into the game and go, oh, I don't want this. I don't want to be playing these. And powder puff is the best description of Hull FC.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, the best bit of the whole thing was the interview afterwards with Willie Peters when he actually finally admitted that now leveled as a fullback.
Yeah.
So just one last quick question to wrap up that game for you. For you both, you've just said everything you've said about Hull and Hull KR and expecting that brutal game and close game, and it's not. How long does Tony Smith have?
Not long. Not long, because he'll be the fall guy for it.
Mm.
And when I say he's a fall guy, he's got a tech. You don't become a bad coach overnight.
No.
He's won trophies, he's been at big clubs. You don't become a bad coach. What he hasn't got. We talked about Salford and their culture.
Yep.
Hull haven't got there.
No.
Hull haven't got that culture. They haven't got that culture of wanting to put the bodies on the line for each other and wanting to die for each other on the field.
No,
they haven't got
that. Andy, you haven't had it for years. Remember, was it 2-3 years ago when you got snotted by Wakefield last game of the season?
Yeah, that's right.
At Wakefield.
But,
and we were all saying then, where's your fight?
Yeah.
Where's your fight for the shirt? Where's your fight for the badge?
Yeah, you're right. But it's something that I feel that Tony Smith hasn't been able to instill for whatever reason. We're not behind the scenes. We don't know. We're not training every day. But what I know on a match day is that he hasn't been able to instill that, has he?
No, absolutely not.
So there you go.
Well, moving on, that brings us to our last game of Rivals Round. And, well, if you're from Hull, it's the biggest derby in the league. If you're from these two places, it's the biggest derby in the league. It's Saints and Wigan. And it was Saints 12, Wigan 4.
I'm going to start on this one because just before we came on air, I just ran through the highlights quickly in the tries.
Mm.
I just want to, and I'm not telling you which team this person supports.
Okay.
But I just want to read one of the comments off the YouTube for you, if that's all right. Okay.
Okay.
Brian, is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute joke. An amazing game, but man of the match for Saints was the ref. Chris Kendall needs to stop favouritism over Saints and ref fair. He needs to honestly show his Saints shirt under his kit. Liam Byrne shouldn't have been sent off, but if he was sent off, then so should the other Saints player who did a dirty tip tackle on Jake Wardle before he was off the ball. If Liam was a red, so was that. Tyler Dupree was never a sin bin end of. Good game overall, even some fights after the game. As normal, a Saints fan punched a Wigan fan in the face. Same old dirty Saints. Also, Saints markers weren't square many of times and Chris Kendall didn't do anything. Saints were offside a lot and Chris Kendall did nothing. Absolute disgraceful ref. Joke of a game it was. Our boy played their hearts out just for it to be rigged for Saints. Hashtag Chris Kendall loves Saints.
And that wraps up round six.
Brian, do you agree?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Sincerely, Johnny Ashe. He says that.
Wow. Yeah.
I just thought I'd read that. Well, let's get on with the real bit of it. But I just thought I'd read that because I thought it was hilarious, to be honest.
I mean, I think the two biggest talking points, let's be honest, in the two biggest talking points of this game are the fact that Wigan played the game for about 25-30 minutes with 12 men. First one being Ty Dupree, who gets sent to the bin for the use of an elbow. Now, for me, the thing is a lot of fans have said that it comes off his chest and it rises up into his head. Which, okay, I can see the first contact being towards the chest. Now, what I don't understand is how can you be sin-binned for something that the RFL is literally being sued for? Whether it comes off the chest or not, you've gone in with a forearm or an elbow designed to hurt the player that's tackling you.
Okay, let me stop you there. There's a difference between leading with the forearm and leading with the elbow. So if you're leading with the elbow, if you're leading with the forearm and say, yeah, he's okay, I can see the yellow. If he's leading with the elbow, to me, there's no place for it. And it's a red all day if you're leading with the elbow, if that's what you seem to be doing. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then I'll rephrase.
Okay.
Leading with the elbow. For me, it's a red card, is what I was getting at.
Right, okay. If he's leading with the elbow, it's a red. If he's deemed not to be leading with the elbow, it's come off his chest, and I think the referee's got it right. I think the second one, I think...
Right, can I come in on the first one?
Of course you can, mate, yeah.
Right, well, because let's be honest here, there's been a lot of uproar about tackle previous to that tackle. Was it Matthews on Luke Thompson?
Mm. Yes.
Which Matthews has now got a 2-game ban for. Now, obviously it was head contact. There's an argument that it was accidental head contact. But this comes back to what Bobby was saying earlier on about having video refs at every game. If a video ref can call on a tackle which is deemed as a red card, how, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but how is that tackle then not being called up by the video ref, but then subsequently ends in a two-game ban?
It's a mess, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, I know that obviously Matthews gets out the tackle, gets into the line, goes back in again. So you're not really going to get an initial call. So that tackle still, with the elbow or forearm, is still going to happen. But surely if then the video that's communicating with the referee, both of them should have left the field in hindsight. If you're getting a two-game ban for it, then really Matthews should have left the field as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's had the time then to look at that previous tackle. Because it's not like he's had to go back a minute to look at another tackle. It's literally the tackle beforehand.
It's the same.
There's a clip of 15 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, same phase of play, isn't it? Yeah.
And this is the frustration the fans have. If that tackle is worthy of a two-game ban, why wasn't he deemed on the pitch? So then if it's a two-game ban, surely you're looking really. It probably would have been a red card. So. Why wasn't that pulled up?
And can I just add to that as well for what Brian's just saying? Luke Thompson actually came back on. He passed his HIA. So how do you know if he had failed his HIA? I can maybe understand the you've took a player out of a game sort of situation. But he hasn't. He's clashed his head. He's passed his eight. No one's bothered about that tackle. Nobody has been. It's just someone who's gone, oh, he's caught him with the head.
Well, just on the disciplinary, because we said we'd mention this and we're right back on it now. I think there's a few instances this week. You just mentioned that one from Lees. These are my opinion. I've picked four out.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. Stay with Matty Lees.
Yep.
Okay. To me, Thompson ducks in with his head, and I'm not quite sure how Lees is supposed to get out of the way of that.
Okay.
So I failed to understand how that is a two-game ban. Mm-hmm. That's my first thing on that, on Matty Lees. I don't know. Brian, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're right. I think he had not enough time to react, but they've set a rule. So realistically, if Saints, you've got to look at it this way, if Saints thought that it was worth appealing, it'd have been appealed.
Okay. Second incident I want to bring up is Tyler Dupree.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a one-game ban.
Not for the elbow, for something else. Yeah.
So forget the something else, because I've not even seen that properly.
No, I haven't.
But should there be a ban there for the elbow? Is the sin bin sufficient?
I think all I'm saying is if you can ban someone for an accidental head clash, you can't. But you can't ban someone for leading with a forearm into an head. I don't understand what the difference is.
Okay. I find this is a ridiculous one, the Liam Byrne one.
Okay.
So I think under the current rules, it's a red card. I don't think there's any argument. Matty Pete didn't have an argument with it.
Yep.
I think it's a red card. But then to refer that to a panel, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's a grade D.
Yeah, which is, it's not, is it? And again, we've mentioned it before, it comes a bit to this mitigation thing. So because he said there's no mitigation, blah, 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 it's made it a grey D, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But that, to me, Bri, to do that, to send that to an actual tribunal for that tackle with a red card, he's had the red card, what's the ban? Just put a ban in place. You don't need, I just don't see the need to extend that ban. It's not that bad.
I think what Bobby said earlier on about Thompson coming on the pitch, I think a few of these get bigger bans or to tribunals because they've knocked people out. So clearly Mark Pearce was seeing Tweety Birds around his head. We know he was. You could see he was straight away.
Yeah.
So I think that's come into it, which then realistically then, what you're trying to say is if two identical tackles happen and one player gets up and can carry on playing and or passes a HIA, that's less of a punishment than if they actually don't play anymore. But they're the exact same tackle, which it just happens to be on a different person, and every single person, as we say with referees and their decisions, react in a total different way.
So, just want to stick with that Liam Byrne one for a second, if I can as well, and exactly what Bri has just said. So, and what you've obviously touched on there, Andy. Mark Percival's seen stars. Liam Byrne is on a grey and a red card. Yet Chris Kendall takes 30 seconds to even look at it.
He's missed it.
He missed it.
Yeah.
If Mark Percival hadn't stayed down. Exactly that.
Yeah,
if
right.
Percival doesn't stay down, he'd have missed it.
Well, the whole... And I get referees can't see everything. I get that. But if you watch at the end of the game, either you're coming out of the ground or you're watching that on telly, you're not thinking... To me, you're not thinking, ooh, Matty Lees is going to get a two-game ban there.
Yeah.
Oh, Liam Byrne's going to go to a disciplinary. He's going to get a 5-game ban. You're not thinking that at the end of the game, are you?
No.
It's not you Will Price dump him on his head.
Yeah.
I was shocked today when I seen that was a grey day and it could be 5 games. Very shocked.
And I've just got one more on the disciplinary before we move on.
Yeah, go on.
And we'll just finish on the game.
Can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Cam Smith.
That's unbelievable. Have you seen it?
I didn't know it didn't show it in the highlights. I didn't see that one.
I suggest you look at it because...
Did he get Simbin? Did he get anything for it in the match?
No, he pushed the fullback over.
But Bobby, he didn't even push him.
Oh.
He didn't even use his hands.
He went...
I'll describe this. He went towards the kicker. He stopped and I'd say brushed the kicker with his shoulder or upper body, chest area. And I'd say brushed as I would brush you with a feather.
I've actually got it on for him now.
Unbelievable.
What did he get for that?
About Cam Smith.
One game ban.
He got a one game
and
ban.
And they're appealing it.
Yeah, he's got a one
and they're appealing it tonight.
He got a one game ban for that.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean.
So when you look at all these things, 2 games for Lees, 1 game for Dupree, a charge for Byrne. There's nothing.
Nah.
None of them make any sense to me.
So are we actually saying what we've said on this pod now for a good few months that you can't touch the kicker? Because that's what that is. Mm. Are you saying that you might as well literally hold your hands up and say to Danny Richardson, yeah, boot the ball down the field, put the bomb up?
We're all in Mark's needs world now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that where we're going as a sport? We aren't allowed to put pressure on a kicker because if we touch him, we're going to get banned.
I mean, funny, that from Cam Smith isn't even pressure, is it?
That's just...
It's not even pressure, it's just a nudge.
That is absolutely terrible.
I would argue that the kick that Danny Richardson made in the first half and the try and make it 2-0, which was caught by the wind, actually... That ball suffered more pressure from the wind than Cam Smith forced onto Danny Richardson.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's
so the wind deserves a ban. The wind deserves a ban from Castleford Tigers.
There's no answers from us on here about this disciplinary. It's just trying to show the flaws because I think the whole thing is just absolutely flawed. It's ridiculous. A couple of things just to very, very quickly finish off on Saints and Wigan. Darts superstar Michael Smith in the crowd. Celebrating when they scored the try. Did you see his son's reaction?
No, I didn't.
Let's just say he was putting lots of lewd gestures to the Wigan fans when they scored.
Was he really?
Yeah, it was quite funny, yeah. and the big thing, Bri, I think, in this game was that it was a brutal game, probably at the expense of a bit of craft and guile. I was having this conversation with Gray, one of our listeners, who listeners will know because we've done some specials with Gray, and we were having a long, long conversation about this, about craft and guile versus brute strength. And is there room for both in these games, Bri?
Yeah, there's definitely room for both. It's just trying to find it. You look at Bevan French's try. It came from nothing. It came from nothing, and it was a Yeah. Absolutely fantastic piece of skill that deserved to be in that game. Mm. And if that had won the game, you wouldn't have argued at all. So for that, yes, there is. But would you then ask yourself this, would you rather have it like they did when you had the behind closed doors grand final where it was literally an arm wrestle and no guile at all, or would you have it like you had it on Friday? Because if anyone was watching that game on Friday, anyone who wants to invest in this sport, that's the game to play. That's the game to show them.
I've got one last question, one word answer to finish off the review. If Wigan keep 13 on the field, do Saints win? Bobby?
I had thoughts on this as well, but I'll go no.
I think no.
Purely based on how the tries were scored.
Yeah. Right?
That's all.
No, because Wigan were ahead and the defences would have been on top.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, and that wraps up Rivals Round, Super League Round 6, however you want to call it. And now, it's time for this.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Hello.
How many have we got?
We've only got 5 this week.
Not good enough.
It was a struggling week this week, I must admit.
On Rivals Round.
Not good enough.
Well, Bri.
I know.
Rivals Round.
I was not good enough. Less than one a match, Bri.
I mean...
one a match when he's got the old NRL as well.
Well, probably, I reckon 3 of them are from the NRL. Right out the
2 are from the NRL. Oh, all right. I've got more Super League. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, like you said, it's 2.5 rivals in Rivals Round. It's it's a bit hard to find them when they're like that. There's not many you can sort of compare to.
All right, let's go then.
Okay, starting off in the NRL. And that is that Wayne Bennett keeps his record. He has not lost on the Gold Coast since 2009. With another Dolphins victory this week over the Titans.
Excellent. Where were the rumors?
Sure, you should just go and manage there. And then he'd win the league.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Where was it his rumoured he was going next season? I can't remember.
Was it Roberts?
I think it was.
Yeah,
they were at Sam Burgess.
Yeah, him and Sam Burgess taking over, weren't it? Yeah.
So, there you go.
Well, sticking with Wayne Bennett's Dolphins, they are actually top of the NRL.
Okay, again, like they were they started off last year.
Funnily enough, it's the first time they finished top of the ladder in their NRL history.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound too impressive. But here's what is impressive about it. It takes the Dolphins to the third quickest of all-time clubs to finish atop of the NRL ladder.
Okay.
They did it in 31 games, I believe it was.
Right.
Do you know who they lose out to? Do you know the second and first ones?
Broncos must be one.
The Broncos are one.
Storm.
And the Storm are the other one. Well done. So the Storm are in second. It took them only 15 games to get to the top of the ladder after being formed. Do you know how many times it took? Do you know how many games it took Brisbane?
7.
One.
Yeah, I mean, they had all the money, they had everything. It was big difference in them days when Wayne Bennett took over as well. Yeah.
First game, they finished top of the ladder.
I had to laugh. This is Dolphins' second. Is it their second season?
Yes.
And they had an interview, like a pre-match interview with the Titans and the Dolphins, and the Titans CEO came on and went, yeah, no, it's going to be tough. But you know what? Whenever we play them, we're always confident of beating the Dolphins. And I'm like, you want to play them twice?
You know what that means then, don't you?
Go on.
You know what that means when they're coming out, it's Rivals Round.
It is, yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Did he wear a suit?
He did wear a suit.
The CEO wore a suit.
It's different in the NRL. It's different in the NRL.
He didn't have egg down his top.
No egg down the tops in the NRL.
Right, okay. Stat number three is Conrad Hurrell has scored his 100th career try. And what a way to do so.
You'd think he'd have more than that, wouldn't you? I'm surprised it was only 100.
It's a bit of a controversial, it's a bit of a mind-bending stat. It's a bit like, well done for scoring your... Wait, 100th?
I would have thought he'd been like the near the 150 mark in a career.
Yeah. Yeah, it was his 100th try. He scored most of his tries in the 4 years he spent at New Zealand Warriors. He scored 41 tries for the Warriors. And he now has 20 tries in 53 games for the Saints.
Right. Right.
There you go.
There you go then. Okay.
Stat number three. And we're heading to everybody's favourite team, Hull FC. So, since the start of August 2023, Hull have played 17 times. Okay? In that time, they have lost 14 games and won 3. No draws, obviously. In that time, they have only scored 12 or more than 12 points 5 times. In 17 games. In those 5 times, they've won 3 of them and lost 2. Okay? Their 3 wins came against Wakefield, Doncaster in a friendly, and London.
Wow. I think that all those stats back up all the stuff we were saying before, Brad, doesn't it, about how long has Tony Smith got, etc., and the culture.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's the thing. He's had some start of off season, hasn't he? So that just it goes against him, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And finally, for my final stat of the week, we go with Mark Percival, who has now scored 1,000 Super League points. So well done to Mark Percival. However, what makes this more impressive and maybe a bit surprising, during the entire Super League era, he is the first out-and-out centre to achieve this record. The only other one on the list to have scored 1,000 points was Stephen Ratchford, but obviously Ratchford has played full-back, half-back.
Yeah.
You know, he's moved around a little bit of positions in his career, whereas Mark Percival is the first centre to score 1,000 points.
Excellent. Wouldn't think that, would you?
No, especially with the injuries he's had. But, hold on to Mark Percival.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is the stats of the week. It's now time for this.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yes, it's our ever... It's our trip down under. I was going to say popular, but it's not that popular.
Not popular, nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Should we just skip it? No, we're going down under. Roosters 16, Panthers 22. The Bunnies struggled to their first victory of the season, 20 points to 16 over the Bulldogs. Broncos showing their ever-growing strength, 38 points to 12 over the Cowboys. Dragons 20, Seagulls 12. Titans 14. I didn't think no one had clicked on there. Thanks for that, Brian. Titans 14, Dolphins 30.
Always confident, CEO. Always confident.
Seagulls will bounce back anyway. We're going to win it, I told you. The Warriors 20, Knights 12. The Sharks 36, Raiders 22. And after a very impressive comeback, the Parramatta Eels 16, the West Tigers 17. Aiden Caesar with a drop goal.
The worst drop goal I've ever seen. Did you see it?
It was terrible.
He just booted it and it was like... It was just sneaked over the bar. But good enough, still 1 point.
Hey, he won him the game. You can't complain. So, that is our... NRL roundup.
I thought he was going for one of those half-time competitions where you have to do it at the bar.
Win a trip to Guernsey. Yeah. And that was our NRL roundup.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yes, that was the NRL, and we now move in to maybe a section that is starting to rival my stats.
Look at that admission there.
I didn't want to admit it, but it's getting good.
Okay.
I like it. And it is, it can only be one thing. It can only be our only in rugby league section.
That we still haven't got a jingle for.
Yeah. But we need one. We need any suggestions. Send them in. Yeah. Send us your suggestions.
Thanks, Bobby. Right, we've got a few this week. Thank you to Gary, amongst others, to Stacey, to Forbidden, to Rob, a couple from our very own favourite Penguin, and amongst others, if you have sent one in this week, thank you so much. Let's start with a positive.
Oh, okay.
Only in rugby league.
Wow, a positive.
Absolute positive. Mm. Lovely to see this week, after the 2 days after the derby, Matty Pete and Paul Whelan stood together having a chat watching the respective academy derby.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah, that was really nice to see that. Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, and I thought that's a positive. That's a positive one to start off with.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't worry, there's no more.
I was going to say, what, you wouldn't see that in football, would you?
No, I think that was great. So yeah, right. Nice one, I thought, this week. On Warrington's conversion, managed to hit a speaker on the roof that went tumbling off and crashing to the ground underneath. What a kick.
Oh, God.
Brilliant. I love it. And one that I did forget to mention last week, which was on the Super League website, which shows the Midland Hurricanes beating the Newcastle Thunder 70-16, except they're no longer called the Midland Hurricanes. According to the website, they are the Midland Bears. So well done, the Midland Bears.
Oh, right.
With a win 70-16 over Newcastle Thunder.
Wait, so are they actually the Midland? Are they the Midland Hurricanes, or are they actually the Midland Bears?
You decide.
I've deformed with Coventry Bears.
I don't know, but you decide who it is.
Oh, good Lord.
Still a good win.
Yeah.
Still a good win, whoever it's for.
Either
Hurricane,
way.
Bears, whoever it's for.
Go on, you Bears.
You wouldn't want to be in the middle of a hurricane or a bear, would you?
No. Let's go over to our favourite broadcaster, Sky. In the Salford v Lee game, Salford went 2-0 up, except on the scoreboard it showed that Lee were 2-0 up. Quickly taken off, I think, Bri, wasn't it? And then come back on with the right score.
Yeah, it took 3 minutes.
Yeah. Let's go to St. Helens. So you know when they have the flags before the games?
Yeah.
You know, like they bring the flags and all them kids like stand around the flags, don't they? And wave the flags about. I don't know. You need to look for this one when Saints are on telly again or whatever, because the Saints flag is absolutely full of holes. Right? I don't know whether it's moth eaten, whatever, but the Saints flag is absolutely riddled with holes.
I tell you what, they could do something with that. They could sell it to Jordan Spieth and he can practice for the Masters.
Yeah. Oh, let's go to everyone's favourite, Wigan's Ticket Office.
Oh, here we go.
Wigan's Ticket Office, showing tickets advertised for the Lee game.
Yeah.
Except when you try and click on, it just goes, page not found. Not having no tickets, mate.
Oh, no.
So they still can't.
Border derby.
Yeah. Yeah. A few nice April Fool's jokes on Twitter this week. Witness Vikings tweeted that Ant Walker would be leaving at the end of the season to go feature in Love Island.
That was a classic. I love that one.
Beautiful.
Saddleworth Rangers signed Rory the Lion, the mascot from Oldham on loan, who as regular listeners will know was Callum's mate George, who's obviously doing overtime somewhere at Saddleworth. And Bradford fans in an absolute outrage that their logo was being changed for more IMG points. Yeah.
I love that one. That was classic.
Yeah. So the few April Fools.
I went happy with that one.
Because?
He copied it off Sheffield 27 minutes earlier.
All right.
Sheffield put a tweet up saying plans on moving into a stadium with Sheffield FC Football Club.
Yeah.
We've decided to change our badge and our colours and everything. And then 27 minutes later, Bradford are like, yeah, we're going to change our badge.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Let's go back to the
Saints Wigan derby.
Okay.
Brilliant piece at the end. Alex Walmsley had his kids on the pitch at the end when he was shaking hands with Luke Thompson, who then shook hands with his kids, who his kids were shouting at him, "We won, we won, we won."
I suppose they could have been shouting the song at him.
He's been booed all afternoon and then gets a beautiful Alex Walmsley's kids. Excellent. Bryce spotted a good one this week in Featherstone Facebook. 4 hammers for sale.
Used.
Unfortunately, the seller's name wasn't Mark, which would have been brilliant.
Oh, that would have been classic.
Let's stay with Bry, shall we? Let's stay with Bry.
No!
So, if you know, I don't know whether anybody noticed this week, right? So, last week when Bry was doing the prediction league, it sounded like he'd gone off Bluetooth on the microphone and he'd gone on like speakerphone from the other side of the room.
Yep.
It went all.
Jordan asked if I'd lost me Wi-Fi.
No, do you want to? You didn't lose your Wi-Fi, Brad. Do you want to tell everybody what happened?
Yeah, I was in my mum's and my dad's decorating, and I was in the one room where there was no furniture except a chair in a corner. I decided to stand by the window so it wouldn't echo as much. And as we started, as I stood up, I pulled my hamstring on my side. So I couldn't, stand up. So I put the phone down on the window ledge, carried me pieces of paper with me, literally dragged my foot and my leg along the other side of the room, grabbed this little chair, dragged my foot all the way back while still talking, and then it came back to normal. As soon as we put the phone down, we normally just say, "Tra," don't we, boys? And say, "Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Have a good day." I put the phone down to you, and I screamed as much as I could.
So just to summarize, while doing the predictions league, you pulled your hamstring.
Yeah.
What?
Only in rugby league.
What I didn't tell you three was that I had to get in a little bed, like a single bed in my mum's. And it's like a spare room and it's mainly for Freddie. But the dogs, my mum's dog gets on it and he had a toy and Sam's got a picture of it somewhere where I'm laying in the bed with my foot up and my leg up and the dog's got the toy and the toy's only a penguin. I could have launched the dog as far as I could.
Okay.
But yeah, I pulled my hamstring. Yeah.
I'm going to stay with Bry. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, there's a bit of a spoiler alert. Bry's doing rather well in the prediction league after last week.
Yeah.
He's had a few drinks last week and he was a bit tipsy and he sent me a voice note that just went, I'm the reason. I'm top of the league of this the season.
Bobby gets better. Setting up a Barbie and Carlin. Yeah. It's six again.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, another semi-positive one. If you thought rugby league was bad, in rugby union this week, this is another positive one for rugby league.
Okay.
They had a sin bin in, which they lost count at the time, and he just did 7 minutes.
No, he didn't.
Bear in mind that 5 of them were probably scrums, so...
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, watch him, I've got to go back. I want to just come off.
Bobby's
I'm tired.
Bobby's special is the team that... had the sin bin and they were getting beat. The team who had the sin bin and were winning by like 30 points. Yeah. And he brought it back to within 4 points and he got beat by 4 points. And they're now all kicking off going, if he'd have been off for the other 3 minutes, we might have, yeah.
Just Just staying with the pod for a minute, Bobby got a very, very, very special message this week, didn't you? A video sent to him on we need to share this. After the pod, we'll share this, and you can see Bobby's message from President Trump.
Yes, you can.
He was obviously an avid listener of the Only in Rugby League podcast.
And more importantly...
And as a Margot Bobolet.
And yeah. More, yeah, I was about to say, and more importantly... He is a bobblehead.
Exactly.
So, you know.
There you go.
Who have you got in your little segment?
Nobody. Right. Last few. Let's go to Hull KR. Yeah. Groundsman in a bit of trouble this week for mowing the pitch with irregular stripes on, resembling the Hull FC kit before the derby.
Okay.
That's it, Bobby.
Is that it?
That's it. He's mowed the pitch in irregular hoops.
Oh, I see.
He only needed to like fill them in black, like, you know, to make a real statement. Apparently, he's Hull FC's ex groundsman as well.
I mean, to be fair, at least, you know, he probably did it just in case they didn't score, and then that way, at least, they had something on the ground. Mm.
Rivals round. You'd think interviews would be good, looking forward to the game, everything like this, wouldn't you?
Brilliant.
Let's get Cade Cust on and ask him an energy-saving questionnaire.
I watched it as well.
Which of these heaters saves most energy? Which uses more energy? A boiling kettle or whatever it was? Unbelievable. Absolutely brilliant.
That begs the question.
Yeah, go on.
Why wasn't Tony Smith doing it next to Watty?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what a chance they had there for Watty to do that interview.
That'd be amazing.
Well, let's stick with Tony Smith, shall we? Now, Tony Smith has quite rightly pointed out that some Australians have struggled to settle in the country. Jaden Ockenberg being one of them. But not to worry, because as Tony Smith quite, you know, as he pointed out, you know, Wigan fans wanted Trent Barrett out of the club in the first season. They were trying to hound him out, and he became a club legend. This is Man of Steel winning Trent Barrett. Yeah,
but it's the same as Jaden Ockenbore.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Tony.
It'd have been better. He'd have been better to compare him to Willie Mason, wouldn't he?
That's right, yeah.
Also, correction there for you, Trent Barrett never won Man of Steel.
Oh, no, everyone thinks he should have done.
Everyone
That's
thinks
right.
he should have, yeah, he lost out.
Yeah. Halifax Twitter account, magnificently taking a leaf out of Lee and their Twitter account, losing 29-10. The tweet goes, first penalty for Halifax with a minute to go. Yeah, to go. Halifax win their first penalty of the second half. Not that it will matter now.
I love the attitude. I love it.
Brilliant, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
Absolutely. That's right. Two more to finish with. Number one, we're off to Featherstone. And they're ball boys. Ball boys. trying to have a fight against 1,500 Wakefield fans. Two ball boys, right? Excellent use of the big fella's sign in the background.
I absolutely love that video. It is one of the best videos of the season.
The ball boys trying to take on the fans. Yeah. Anyway, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Yeah.
Ask them on, can you go on Facebook? There's a fella selling some Amazon Marketplace.
Free to good home. And then... one comment I did see was that one concerned poster said, as a steward himself, the ball boys will be in trouble because they've broke the ball boys' code of conduct.
What ball boys' code of conduct?
So we need to find more. Please, if anyone knows about a ball boys' code of conduct, please let us know, because that's brilliant. And then the last one, we're going to go to our friend of the pod, Johnny Lou, as the very last one this week.
Okay.
Now, Johnny has put a post on this week. I don't know whether you've seen it or not. And praising the podcast, saying, this is the best podcast I've ever heard. He was talking about his own. Ramblings of a Saint. Great episode about French rugby league. Check it out. It's worth checking out. His comment was, "This is the best podcast I've recorded or ever heard."
Oh God!
So, but well done, Johnny. I love your confidence, mate. Well done. Yeah. Oh, and that was this week's Only in Rugby League.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well, moving on to our last little bit, and usually I'd be introducing you to him on the phone, but he's been with us all day, so I'll play his jingle and we'll introduce him that way.
The Only Rugby League Podcast Predictions League, six again.
Yes, it can only be Bri bringing us all the updates of the Prediction League, which I'll just let the man himself speak. Yep. Bri?
No, boys.
No, Bri.
I'm disappointed, Bobby. You played the wrong jingle.
Did I?
It should have been, "I'm the reason."
I'm sorry, I'll do
that. How are we, boys?
Yes.
Are we okay?
Good. Yes. Thank you, Bri.
Right, can we do a little update?
Please do. We would not deny you this moment, Bri. Please do.
Well, you know what?
I would.
I'm not bothered. Top of the league. I'm more impressed that last week we had 12 spot-ons.
Wow. Not one for me, though. So I wasn't really bothered.
we had 12 spot-ons in the... I'll go through them all if I can. Castleford Leeds, we had Huddersfield and Hull KR. In the Hull KR, the Hull FC game, we had one for Leeds and for the Insiders. In the Saints v Wigan game, we had one for Castleford, for Saints, and for myself. And it's a bit funny because I was a bit unwell at the end of last week, obviously, with the pulled hamstring. And Bobby messaged me and said, spot on as well, and it took me 2 days to click on he was talking about me. In the Warrington v Catalan game, there was spot ons for Hull KR and the Insiders and myself. In the Salford Lee game, there was a spot on for Wigan, and in the London v Huddersfield game, there was a spot on for Catalan. The league, basically, the bottom three are covered in 3 points. London are bottom, Lee, and then Castleford. And they're on 98, 99, and 100. Bobby, you've dropped down to 10th because you only got 17 points last week. But you are only 5 points behind Callum, who's in 6th. Andy, you're in 5th, 1 point ahead of Callum. And we have joint leaders. I'm top on having more spot ons from the Insiders, and we're both on 139 points.
Excellent.
Can you really have a song if you joint top of the league?
The reason I'm joint top of the league.
I'll ask you this: if Man United won the league on goal difference, would they win the league? Yes, they would. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Especially from Liverpool. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll allow it.
Right.
So this week, for Castleford, we've got Roy. For Catalan, we've got Victoria. For Huddersfield, we've got Nathaniel. For Hull FC, we've got Outlaw Rugby League. For Hull KR, we've got Tony. For Leeds, we've got Blockpod. For Lee, we've got Forbidden Game. For London, Alex. Salford, Phil. St. Helens, we've got Steve. For Warrington, we've got Noxie. For Wigan, we've got Johnny Ashy. Us four are playing. And for the Insiders, we have Featherston, Top. Brad Day, friend of the pod.
Excellent. Welcome, Brad.
Are we ready then, boys?
Yes.
Right, so first up on Thursday, it's on Sky Sports Action. It's at 8 o'clock. It's Leafy Wigan.
Yeah, I think we pretty much wrapped this one up before, didn't we? We thought Lee were turning that corner, but I think more importantly, Wigan will look to really bounce back after that Derby Day defeat. I think it's only... right, that they do so, and I think they'll try and put a big score on their next Borough Derby, if you like. So I'm going to go Wigan by 26.
I'll go Wigan 18.
And Callum has said Wigan by 22.
and I've gone Wigan by 16. I'm one of three who've gone Wigan by 16, including Alex for London and Nathaniel for Huddersfield. We have Lee have gone Wigan by 22, and Wigan have gone Wigan by 12. Next game, on Friday at 8 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Arena and Super League Plus. It's Castleford v Salford.
Can't see much changing. Not even with the first half performance that Cass had last week. So I'm going to go Salford. I'm going to go Salford 18.
Yeah, I'm going to go Salford 22. Callum has also said Salford 18.
And I've gone Salford by 14. Bobby, you're now one of three. You've gone Salford by 22, along with Huddersfield, Nathaniel, and Leeds. Eddie, we do have a Castleford, and it's from Roy, Castleford by 4.
Well done, Roy. Keep the faith.
Next up on Saturday, it's on Sky Sports Mix and the Super League Plus. It's Hull KR v London.
It's yours, this, Bri.
Well, you can only see it going one way, can't you, really? And I've gone Hull KR by 22.
I will go Hull KR by 42.
I'll go Hull KR 38. Callum?
Oh, sorry, Callum has gone Hull KR 28.
And the highest we have is from Nathaniel Huddersfield, who's got Hull KR by 48. We've got no one for London, as you may expect. There's Hull KR and a bit of fun. Next up on Friday, also at 8 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Action. It's Leeds v Warrington.
Again, I think with the start that Warrington have had, I think Sam Burgess will maybe look to put a few things right. I know that Leeds had a bit more of a comfortable win, but I highlighted it was just Castleford. I do worry for their attack, and I think Warrington will come away with the winners in this. I'm going to go Warrington by 12.
I'll go Warrington 14 then.
And Callum has gone Leeds by 8.
And I've gone Leeds by 10. The highest we have are Warrington 14s and Warrington 12s.
Yeah.
Noxie has gone Leeds by 4, as we would also expect. But the highest we have is Leeds by 18 from Eddie. Okay. Next up on Saturday, it's at 3 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Main Event Action and the Super League Plus. It's Hull FC v Huddersfield.
Bearing in mind what we said before about Huddersfield beating the teams that we thought they would beat, etc. And I think this is one of those games. So I'm going to go Huddersfield by 18.
Yeah, see, everything wants me to sort of say what they did against London and can't be bothered again. But last time we put 50 on Hull, didn't they? So I'm going to go a bit higher. I think I'm going to go Huddersfield by 32.
And what's Callum gone?
Huddersfield by 26.
And I've gone Huddersfield by 10. Bobby, you're the highest. We do have a couple of Huddersfield by 6 and Huddersfield by 8. And we also have a Hull FC by 2. And that's from Eddie.
Okay.
And then lastly, on Saturday, it's on Sky Sports Action, BBC 3 and the Super League Plus app. It's at 8 o'clock. It's Catalan v St. Helens.
Okay, take us away, Bri.
Oh, this is the hardest one of the week, surely, isn't it? Top two. You just can't call it, can you, really? This is a toss of a coin game, if there ever was one.
Yeah.
But I've tossed the coin, and it has landed for me at St. Helens by 8.
And I'll go Saints by 6.
What I was going to have. Right, I'm going to change. Yeah, I'm going to go Saints by 4. and Callum has gone Saints by 10.
Okay. And we have a bit of a mixed bag on this one. We have the Saints by 12 is the highest for Saints, and the highest for Catalan is actually Catalan by 8.
Okay.
And that's it, boys.
And that's it. Thank you, Bri.
Not a problem.
Thank you very much. And if thank you to everyone who has stayed with us and listened to us for this long. As always, if you find any more Only in Rugby Leagues, please do send them Andy's way for his ever-popular growing Only in Rugby Leagues. That's, and more importantly, if you are going to any games this week, please enjoy yourselves, please stay safe, and enjoy the greatest game of all that we call Rugby League. From all of us here at the Only in Rugby League podcast, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.